shadows, dark before the night. Somewhere some villain schemes, but his number's up.
3, 2, 1.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, taking a dip in a different pool for just a little bit, talking about a show I personally am shocked that we have never discussed on this show before. How have I discussed Darkwing Duck more on the Who Would Win show than Knowing Is Half the Podcast? I don't know, but this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan. And our very special guest this week is comedian, writer, icon of the stage and screen, Andrea Listenberger.
I'll take icon.
Hells yeah.
Yeah, I'm pumped to talk about Darkwing. When you hit me up, I was like, shit. I also can't believe you guys haven't talked about this.
Well, here's what happened is like I was like, Ray was like, hey, do we have anybody to record this Tuesday? I was like, oh, no, I should look at that. And so I like went back through because I will like drop on my Facebook every once in a while just to make random like vague question that is really just me fishing for guests and ideas for shows and stuff.
I see what you do. I see it. I know exactly what you're doing every single time. And I sit back and I laugh.
And I realized when I was going through, because I always forget a ton of people that mention stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, we should definitely do that. And then totally forget. And then I saw that you had mentioned Darkwing Duck. And I was like, oh, well, shit. And I looked it up. We've never done it. I think we haven't done it because it's good. And we tend to avoid good on the show.
I will say this is the first episode I've recorded with you that has that as an element. Yes.
Yeah. We tried doing Batman the Animated Series a couple times. We were just like, well,
it's good.
This good thing happened. And this was also good. I guess what would have been on here, like 4 minutes, show's over. Bye.
Yeah. How does it feel? How do you even manage that? Like, I don't even understand. Like, is that a muscle that you are comfortable flexing? Does it feel out of sorts? Like, brand new territory.
Discussing before the show started, some people are just looking for a fight. And you know, if you're lucky, you'll find an outlet, like, say, a podcast.
It's true.
Otherwise, you're going to take out all of this awfulness on real people. And that's not.
You're walking around a nonprofit looking for someone to biff in the snoot. And I'm sitting back going, like, what's wrong with you? I could be talking about anybody right now.
Could be talking about anybody.
Anybody, honestly. But this is Darkwing Duck. And Chan, you picked, this is an episode called Hot Spells, which I thought at first as like, Chan, are you suggesting we watch a witchy adult film that I would have rented when I was 22 years old?
Good Lord. This is a cartoon about menopause.
Okay.
So get ready. Buckle up.
I'm here for it. If you found me an 80s or 90s cartoon about menopause, I would first off be shocked we haven't done it already.
Well, Disney's afraid of the female body, which is clearly why it's banned.
It's true.
Yeah.
You said this episode's banned. What's the deal with that?
Well, I was trying to figure out, like, okay, how do I find a bad episode in what is generally regarded as a fantastic animated series? And then I ran across a thing that said that it was banned. It's like, oh, cool. I don't care. Whatever else. If nothing else, we'll be able to talk about why it was banned. Turns out there were three other episodes that were also banned, but have since been restored to the canon, I guess. But this one remains unavailable in the United States. You can't buy it on DVD. It's not on Disney Plus. Basically, I was surprised. Like, it is straight up the devil in here. And so, of course, you know, Christian fundamentalists would be like, how dare Disney tell our children about the concept of evil in the world?
So, that's the what thing I'm that we think is real. The thing that we push as being a thing that is real. So weird. But it's too hot. It's too hot.
No,
I did sit back and I was like, why was this banned? It must be the witchcraft, the devil, Beelzebub. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you afraid of fictional magic? I don't understand. I guess my worldview is such that I could not comprehend why this would be banned. I also can't comprehend why Harry Potter books were being burned in Western Michigan in church parking lots up until a few years ago when, I don't know, something changed that suddenly made those books more palatable to a certain audience. I don't know. I
don't get it. Wild that. But yeah, this is 91, 92. Very much closer to the satanic panic of the 80s, but I was gonna not say, quite into Harry Potter territory.
This is Tipper Gore stuff right here is what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the parental advisory explicit lyrics starting getting slapped on albums. Yeah. It's a wild time. It's a wild time for America. Look, if you weren't around in 1991, first off, I'm sorry. Second off, it's probably for the better because you're going to live longer than me.
I guess.
But the 90s were a great, great time. 90s were a great time. I guess.
Pros and cons.
Yeah.
Living longer, experiencing the 90s, you know.
You know what? If I have to live longer in this hellscape, I think I'll take the 90s.
I mean, the further we get away from the Matrix, the more we realize that, in fact, that silly statement that, like, the peak of the culture was 1999, the more it's like, oh, God, they were kinda right. True.
Yeah.
Kinda true. Oh, Lord, I forgot about that. Yeah, that is absolutely a fact. Look, oh, I'm sorry. I get to live in the 90s or I get 10 years of future fascism. I think I know where I'm going.
Oh, what a choice. What a choice.
Anyway, Darkwing Duck, Hot Spells. And it opens up with Goslin diving into a spooky gargoyle outside of a school. It is the Eldritch Academy of Enchantment. It is a magic school. It is a, dare I say it, wizard school, Harry.
All right, help me out here because this is the first episode of Darkwing Duck I've ever seen. I have a vague notion of
what?
Who's involved here. There's a duck who's sort of like Batman.
Of all of your years?
Yeah. Look, it's one of those things that slipped in between for me where I was young enough to still engage with cartoons to a certain extent, but also just old enough that a certain segment of them were kids stuff. And I couldn't touch it. Couldn't be bothered. I was living with my two cousins who were very into the Disney Channel. And so basically everything Disney Channel was off limits. Or at Disney Afternoons, like none of it. Like Gummy Bears, when we went to go back and watch, I was like, oh, hey man, this isn't half bad. But it was in that period where I just couldn't.
So it's uncool by association is what you're saying.
Yes.
That is a shame.
That is a shame because it's not just that you have never seen it, it's that you have never seen it. Like you specifically. Because if someone were to say, like, I've never seen it, all right, you're wrong. But like I feel like you would enjoy it.
The other thing is,
because it's fantastic.
I'll just say, this is a very strange episode to have be your first. I'll also say that.
This is not a common Darkwing Duck episode. That was
not a typical Darkwing Duck.
No. Okay, that's good to know. I will tell you the one point of contact I have had with Darkwing Duck, and I will preface this with a little snippet of the theme song, and we could just discuss that real quick.
Dwelling Duck of Mystery, Chippy and a Wright, swoops out of the shadows, Darkwing of the night. Somewhere some villain schemes, but his number's up.
3, 2, 1,
Darkwing Duck.
When there's trouble, you call
me.
Darkwing Duck.
Let's get dangerous.
Banger.
It's an absolutely legend theme song.
And if you weren't dancing to it, like, I'm sorry, you're doing it wrong.
Thank you.
I forget where it fell in our tournament of theme songs, but I feel like it did respectably, didn't it?
I don't think it made our tournament of theme songs. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember it being in there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
I think we need another tournament of theme songs. That's what I think.
Guess we need to do another round of 32.
Well, we should do 80s versus 90s. That's what I think we should do.
Good Lord.
That's my that's my suggestion, is we do 32 total, 16 from the 80s, 16 from the 90s, all suggested. And if you're in later than the 90s, go sit on a shelf.
Fair enough. I did run across this theme song in another version that I was quite fond of, even though I'd never actually, I basically heard the original version today.
Somewhere, some villain schemes, but his number's a 3-2-1. The Queen Duck. When there's trouble, you call DW. The Queen Duck.
That's pretty rad.
It is pretty rad.
Not gonna lie.
I love it.
Postmodern Jukebox did like a whole album of Saturday morning cartoons, and like they're all dope as hell.
Well, I'm into it. And I'm into Darkwing Duck. Look, again, we did him on a Who Would Win show because he's just such a dominant character. He is. So, Chan, Darkwing Duck is essentially Disney DuckTales version of Batman. Even though there are characters that coincide between Darkwing Duck and DuckTales, those two shows are not canon to each other, which is the strangest thing, because there's like multiple characters who cross over.
But is Darkwing Duck like a comic book character in DuckTales or something?
No, it just does not exist. Darkwing himself does not exist in the world of DuckTales, but there are characters, a Launchpad McQuack being one of them, who absolutely goes between both and is just in both shows.
Although in the rebooted DuckTales, there is crossover, and it's fascinating and it's beautiful and it's amazing.
So that's cool. I'm glad they finally got there.
Is there a rebooted Darkwing Duck?
So there is not a rebooted Darkwing Duck. At one point they were thinking about doing it. I think it was in development. Darkwing appears in DuckTales, spoiler alert. This show is not about DuckTales. This is not about the DuckTales reboot.
You know what?
But I love that show so much. And the way they did Darkwing in that show, like if they just took that version of Darkwing and they injected it into my veins and then made a show about it. Like,
yeah,
you're talking about the David Tennant version of DuckTales, right?
The 2000 version of it. So there is crossover, because in that version, they do recognize Darkwing as a fictional character who then in a super, very fun meta way becomes a real character. I don't know. If you are a fan of any of the Duck universes and you haven't seen the David Tennant version of DuckTales, like,
I have absolutely not seen that.
Run, Don't Walk, because it was, when that show was airing, it was my favorite show on television. Like, no qualifiers, not like animated show, not like anything show, like just my favorite show on television.
Okay.
So in that version, they do have crossover.
Okay.
And it's so interesting.
That is fascinating. Yeah. So the gist is that Darkwing Duck, he has a secret identity, which is what I find to be absolutely fascinating about this particular episode.
Is his secret identity Winnie the Pooh?
No. It's Drake something?
It's Jim
Drake
Cummings.
Drake Mallard. Yes.
There you go.
Drake.
We don't see it. Because normally,
that's the thing I don't understand.
Normally, what you'd get, because when we started this episode, I was like, oh no, I accidentally clicked ahead, because it's very weird that it just starts you here where you're at, like this thing. Normally, in a typical Darkwing Duck episode, you go back and forth between Darkwing, the Caped Crusader crime fighter, fighting these villains, like think Batman villains, but
is there a cold open normally?
Duck villains.
Do we not get it?
It the format feels very different. And then you see Drake Mallard, who's, you know, a duck without the costume in a sweater vest at home with his daughter managing his secret identity, which she knows and Launchpad knows, but no one else knows.
Yeah, it's great. And think 1960s Batman, you know. He'll be Bruce Wayne and Alfred and Robin know, and then he'll be Batman, and yeah, and the two shall not cross, except all the times they cross. And that's what makes it so interesting, because he's never Drake in this episode, and he's with his girlfriend, who I assume knows his secret identity, but I'm not so sure she knows his secret identity. Does she just know she's dating Darkwing Duck and has no idea who he is? I don't know where this falls in the canon of the series. It's been a while since I've watched Darkwing Duck. I find it fascinating, but the spooky lady is named Morgana Macabre. Macabre?
One thing I just noticed, it's pronounced macabre, which is like if you sort of did a bad job of pronouncing the word macabre, but it's spelled M-A-C-A-W-B-E-R. So it is correctly pronounced. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cute. I like it.
Pretty cute. Yeah. And she is an Elvira Bride of Frankenstein magic lady equivalent. And yeah,
she's
I'm into it.
Witch.
She's I'm into it.
Bringing any of the nonsense.
Into it. Yeah, this is my official cartoon crush.
Okay.
I would say, you know, we don't watch a lot of stuff where I feel it and I look back and I'm like, you know, back in 1991, I absolutely would have felt funny watching Morgana on my screen.
I think she's spoken for, Ray. I think she's with Darkwing.
I have no illusions that I will be getting with this cartoon duck on this Disney show, but I am saying that as my awakening would have been happening in the early 90s, this would have been part of that eye opening.
I just didn't want you to be let down. That's all.
We're going to need to take a sidebar here to ask who was your animated crush?
Thank you.
Andrea.
Ooh. That's a really good question. I've never thought about that, actually.
How is that possible?
Yeah, come on, dude.
How was your childhood just not filled with dreams and posters on the wall of you're like, oh no, I just like him as a animated character. It went in secret in your head, you know, like this is who I want to lose my virginity to.
Yeah.
Well, as an animated character, shit, I don't know, man. I mean, Max from Goof Troop obviously pops up as an early.
Honestly, yeah, but, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of the shows I watched were like more like they were the thing that Max had going for him was that he was obviously an animal, but he much like Morgana, like wasn't like an animal, right? Like, in my opinion, like you look at Chip and Dale and they're like they're chipmunks. And if that's for you, that's cool. That's not going to do it for me. Okay. And most of the shows that I watched were more in that category. So I think maybe that's why I didn't have like a front runner for like a, ooh, this is my Morgana. Okay. In the Ray Stakanis model.
Right.
But I mean, maybe Max from Goof Troop.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have trouble coming up with one. I probably, if I thought about it, I'd come up with like five. So, you know, yeah. I'm just saying. Chan, what about you?
I mean, my main, like, early one was that love triangle with Lin-Min May and Lisa Hayes.
I get it.
Because, you know, you got your, sweet, cute Asian pop star, and then you have, like, the tough, no-nonsense head of the, you know, like executive officer kind of situation going.
The lady but boss.
Then I stumbled on Miria, the gigantic alien woman in the same cartoon,
okay.
Robotech. And,
oh, interesting. You know,
done deal. Green hair, 60 feet tall. That's my jam right there.
I get that. A special mention, Rogue from X-Men 97.
Sure. Mm-hmm,
definitely hits the list.
Yeah.
But and of course,
no.
Yeah.
Andrea, nothing?
No, I feel like X-Men, I was more of a Rogue girl.
Okay, fair enough.
And you know what? I'll keep going. The Baroness, obviously, from G.I. Joe. And Zarama, yeah. Quite honestly. All the evil Zarama. Ladies from G.I. Joe pretty much all hit me in a spot.
Yeah.
When I was eight years old.
I'm really understanding your impetus behind doing this podcast, Ray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just reliving the good old days. The reason why the lady who turned me down, Morgana, is at the school. She has been asked to present a paper. She's doing a presentation about a paper about, I don't know, magic charms or something, or rocks or potions. It's a MacGuffin. Who cares?
She cares. She cares about it very deeply, very, very deeply.
Yeah. And it's honestly kind of crushing that what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Like, ostensibly, it's because Goslin has some cooler thing that they're like, we'll push it aside. But like, when she leaves that room after presenting, it really feels like, yeah, but you're just a woman, so we're not impressed. This is boring.
It does not matter.
Yeah.
They really do. They make a big deal about bringing her in, and then as soon as it's time for her to do the thing, they're just like, I forgot, nobody cares.
You know, if they had said that they actually banned this episode for misogyny, I would buy that. I would feel very comfortable with that. Because if we get it in a couple places.
we go some places, yeah. And I do like that her parents don't like Darkwing. They show up as well. They're magical creatures. And they say, are you still dating the normal? And I'm just like, yeah, I love it. Get out of here, normie.
Oh, wait, here it is. This is what she is presenting.
The groundbreaking paper. Warts and boils. Medieval hexes redefined for a new age.
Okay. Respectable.
You can see why I didn't remember that.
Warts and boils, medieval hexes redefined for our new age. It doesn't really sound revolutionary, but you know, like, there's a lot of meat on that bone.
There's a lot you could talk about. You could definitely do a TED talk. I'll tell you that right now. And this is the point where Goslin. Now, we don't have any other characters. It's just from Darkwing's side. It's Darkwing and Goslin. Here we are. He's taken her with him to his girlfriend's presentation at this wizard school. So I'm like, all right, it's pretty cool. She is climbing up the side of the building, and she sees basically Slimer in the window and falls off into a specially placed to save her cauldron. And I do like the fact that she lands in the cauldron in the water. She's totally safe. And then the witch who put the cauldron there is like, you'll be great in my soup. Heat it up. And Darkwing's like, get her out of there. And she's like, I was messing with you guys. But was she?
We'll never know.
Not in a place like this. No. You go for it. And when someone says, don't eat that, that is my progeny. They're like, all good. No problem.
Yeah.
I'll just wait for the next one.
That's the, what do you call it? Schrodinger's asshole. Just determine if you're kidding based on the reaction.
I was not aware that was a term. But now that you've said it, I kind of get it. I respect it.
I mean, I've never done that before.
Certainly not.
I am just very
test
kind.
Test the waters. Test the waters. Oh, joking all the time.
Yeah. No, that's 100% my dating strategy for like the first 30, 40 years of my life. Yeah. Hey, we're going to see a movie. No, just kidding. It's okay. I was just making fun.
Yeah, but to be fair, that worked out.
What a silly joke that I would be a person you'd want to hang out with.
That to be fair, that did work out. Worked out very well for you, though. I mean, you were rolling in it.
Rolling in my bed alone? Yeah, definitely.
That is what I meant, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get to meet, that was Cousin Globby. Just for the record, it wasn't Slimer like I thought it was originally. And they go to meet Dean, the Dean of the College, Spectre McHex, who is a hunchback made of dust. Did I see that correctly?
Basically.
Yeah, I think that's not there.
They blow dust in the air and he materializes from the dust, seemingly.
Laddie, when you're as old as I am, there is a fine line between dust and decomposition.
Do you recognize that voice?
I will when you say it out loud. I mean, look, I feel like half the voices in this were just Jim Cummings doing like a bunch of characters.
I mean, he did do a few of them.
No.
I mean, I'm just going to say, yes, I definitely recognize it. So why don't you tell us who it is for everyone?
Thank you.
Michael Bell. Perhaps you've heard the name.
Of course, it's Michael Bell. Oh, Michael Bell, Duke from G.I. Joe for the people at home.
One of the greats of the 80s.
One of the greats now. How dare you? I got your back, Michael.
What has he been doing for the last 30? Oh, right. Everything.
Literally everything. Can I tell you, I was watching new episodes of Press Your Luck, the no whammy, no whammy, stop on a whammy game show now with Elizabeth Banks. And Neil Ross is no longer the announcer slash voice of the whammies.
No.
They recast as somebody younger, and I may never get over it.
Oh, that's messed up.
They fixed it and it wasn't broken.
Yeah. Guys, what are we doing? I can't watch anymore, quite honestly. If you're asking, Michael Bell is still working. He's in 386 credits.
Yeah.
He last worked in the Batwoman TV series as a staffer. Wow, that's crazy. Three episodes of Batwoman. And Visitors TV series is Sheriff Kovac, 8 episodes, 2002. So he's doing live action, I guess. That's a live action show. How about that? He's also getting up there. So enjoy your Michael Bell. Enjoy that. He's older than Joe Biden.
That's pretty old.
So just put that out there. Anyway. No one has anything to add. I'll just keep on going.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Darkwing Duck and Look, Daddy.
The last time we did one of these bonus episodes, we racked up so many cancelable moments that we had to put one of them entirely on Patreon. I do not want to do that again. I don't want to get me canceled. I don't want to get Andrea canceled. I'm fine with you getting canceled, Ray, but...
Look, I'm the one who's going to get most canceled from that episode, so that's fine.
The tattoo that I have of you on my butt cheek is going to... I'm going to have to get it covered. I don't want to do that.
You could put Ray on one cheek, Gina on the other cheek, and then you're yourself.
The asshole. And I don't know how I feel about that.
That's really up to you.
Jan.
I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
I just wrote here, I love the fact that Darkwing Duck is at this in character. He could just be at this as Drake Mallard. But he's not.
So I was thinking about this and I wonder, well, first of all, I wonder because there's no way of knowing, there's no other episodes of the show. If her parents know that he is also Drake Mallard, perhaps there's something where they only know he's Darkwing.
Who is she dating? Is she dating Darkwing Duck or is she dating Drake Mallard?
Well, she's dating both, Chan. That's the same person. But to the outside world, we at the very least know that she's dating Darkwing Duck because that seems to be public.
I'm hopeful that they have the kind and loving relationship where she also is very aware that she's dating Drake Mallard. We can either confirm or deny this in the context of the episode. Her parents may not be aware of that. They're definitely aware that she's dating Darkwing Duck. And maybe there's some sort of like, if I was Darkwing Drake Mallard and I was feeling maybe perhaps insecure that I'm being taken to a magical school when I do not have magical powers for something that my girlfriend is very, very nervous about and wanting to show up. Like, do I want to show up as the most impressive version of myself, setting aside the fact that like my Drake Mallard self is maybe very impressive as well. And I should
I was gonna say he's
so
a millionaire
hard on myself.
I feel like,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the parents are saying like this Darkwing Duck is a normal. So either like their standards are so impossibly high that even being a friggin' superhero is not good enough, or maybe like having a lot of money would be more impressive to them than I punch pickpockets in the night.
No, the thing is, they wanted her to date somebody magical, obviously. Obviously, but we learned from Goslin that if Darkwing cared enough, he could learn magic. That's on you, Darkwing.
Okay, so this is like she speaks Spanish and he doesn't, and he's not going to bother to learn for her.
He's not going to bother to learn. Like, it doesn't seem like it's that hard, all things considered, if you don't mind the forbidden stuff.
It's a very interesting dynamic to the relationship that really should be explored.
A lot more than you would think on the page. Yeah. This is where we cut over to a devil man, to Beelzebub, I called him a demon, but it turns out, like, at first I thought he was a lesser demon coming back to Earth to just kind of mess with people.
Yeah.
And I got the vibe as we go along, this is the literal devil.
Yep. I got that vibe as well. Yeah, and he's got a TV set. He's got his very own TV set.
Well, yeah, there's going to be TVs in hell.
I'm reminded of, I think it was a Far Side comic. I could be wrong about that, but essentially it was like, welcome to hell. Here's your TV. And the guy says, oh, there's TV in hell. And the devil says, there's only TV in hell. Yeah, think
I'm
about
cool
it.
With that. I'm okay.
I would be great. If I get a TV, awesome. I'm fine. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's a plasma. Give me a big screen. Do I get an Xbox too? Let's go. I mean, look, I guess it's hell. So I'm probably, I get a TV, but every channel is like that scrambled porn channel from, you know, 1987.
No, you get a TV, but all of the programming is done by David Zaslav.
Oh, so nothing. Nothing. Yeah,
you sold it all for all got canceled. Tax write-offs. It's nothing on the television.
Take that, Zaslav. Your day in the sun is over. You're only making $253 million this year to do literally nothing. Like,
to actively damage and destroy the industry.
It's crazy when you look at, look, I'm not trying to go anywhere. It's crazy when you look at CEOs of media companies, because across the board, you know, you're going to get, yeah, you get like, oh, this, you know, this guy of CBS or whatever made like 12 million. This guy over here made 11 million. And then you get like, that's like normal. And then you get up to, oh man, this guy made 20 million. Wow. And then you get David Zaslav and Discovery Media, like 250 mil. Like it jumps like amazingly high. And I don't know, like, how much money do you need at a certain point?
Well, he's got to sit around all day in his little armchair, look at his little television set. I mean, we saw him in this Darkwing Duck episode. He's looking, he's seeing what he's going to try to do. He ends up deciding to target Darkwing because politicians are too easy. And then he goes to this Eldritch Academy and he causes trouble. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work for David Zaslav to do.
That's fair. That's fair.
CEOs don't, for the record, CEOs don't actually like do work. Like just,
no.
They do not do work. I can say I was shocked when I spent some time around CEOs at some of the jobs that I've had. And I got to actually spend like some real time, like seeing their day, you know, like having an office near theirs and whatnot. And what I discovered is how Donald Trump approached the White House is how CEOs approach being a CEO. It's the same gig, as opposed to being a public servant who does like all this work and da 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 and works weekends. And he literally, what Trump did is what CEOs do, they just call their friends all day. They just call their friends for like 9 hours a day. You think I'm kidding? This is all they do. They call their friends who are other CEOs or rich people, and then they just shoot the shit. And that's what the CEO does for work. Like that, at the end of the day, they're like, ooh, I am tired. A lot of networking today. And I'm not bullshitting. That's all they do, which is why if you don't need them, their entire job is to raise money when you need money. They do it by knowing a bunch of other rich people. And then when you get in the position, they reach out to those rich people and try to get them to give money. And most of the time, those people say no anyway.
Surely that could be outsourced to an AI.
I wonder why not. And so when I hear about a guy like Zaslav making $253 million or whatever, it was something like that, maybe more, in 1 year to do fuck all, nothing, and in fact make the lives worse of everyone involved in his company or the consumers, I'll take those 10 years in the 90s. That's what I'm trying to say, and I will be glad for it.
I'll tell you why we're doing this episode now is because if we don't keep this Warner property in the public zeitgeist, he will sell it for scrap. He will literally go like, what? You'll give me a $50 tax write-off? Fuck it. Burn all the entire series.
Burn it. Never coming back again.
We are doing a public service here to protect this valuable resource from David Zaslav.
I didn't realize Disney was owned by Warner Discovery, but you know, I mean, look, in the future, who knows?
I was gonna say, I mean, we're not releasing this immediately, right? You guys got to wait on it a couple days at least.
I would give it a solid 2 to 3 months before Warner Brothers Discovery is owned by Disney.
Yeah, there's plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I also like that the Devil Man sits back on his TV. He's watching Darkwing Duck, and he's like, "Oh, I kind of got a rage boner for this guy. I'm gonna go get him. I'm getting him. That's it. His day in the sun is over." He's Zaslav to me.
I love that he targets. He knows exactly who Darkwing Duck is.
He knows.
And he's like, out of everyone in the entire world, this is the guy, and this is my opportunity to mess with him.
Man, I mean, not just mess with him. He wants his eternal soul.
Eternal soul. I feel like they really underplay the soul business, which I love. Like, it's 100% what he wants, but he puts it out so casually. Just like, oh yeah.
I respect him for being goal oriented and knowing what he wants and going in to get what he wants.
Yeah, that's exactly the sort of thing you would learn from The Art of the Deal.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Bad scientist!
I've done it! It's dissected alien! And it's
gross!
You take his insides out and put them back in.
Too gross.
Yeah!
That's disgusting.
He's a real slime bucket.
Yeah.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
So the Library of Forbidden Spells is a thing.
That's a pretty, yeah, that bit keeps coming back. And Jesus Christ, we've done so many terrible cartoons that I forget that you could actually do a solid callback, like set up a gag, pay it off later in the episode, and have a satisfying result. It's been so long.
A lot of the stuff on this show is the rule of twos, unfortunately.
Hey, it fucking works. I don't care. I don't need it to follow a formula. I need it to pay off. This one paid off.
Most of the
shows watching does not.
I love the bit. It's a classic comedy bit, and I'm here for it. I like that Goslin is impressed by the school. Why would you not be impressed by the wizard school?
It's a magic school. It's amazing. I want to go to the magic school.
I'm a little unclear what Goslin's deal is. Is she just really precocious and smart? Does she have some sort of power? Is she like a master inventor or like a computer whiz or something?
No, she would basically be like Robin. She would basically be Robin to his Batman, except it's his niece, if I remember this correctly. And she's around the adventures, but she doesn't go on like a sidekick costume wearing adventure. Like, what if Robin was just obviously Dick Grayson, but what if he was just sort of hovering around and got involved when he had to, but wasn't like, didn't have that big target on his back of wearing a costume?
Is she like a Penny from Inspector Gadget?
Yes.
She's his adopted daughter.
Adopted daughter. There we go.
Yeah. So it's her father, but she doesn't really have any. Her power is precociousness.
Okay.
She's like very smart, but they're not like presenting her as like a whiz kid, right? Like she's kind of just like normal.
I was kind of unclear because she was like going into the classes and like sort of expecting to do magic. So I was like, oh, maybe she's related to Morgana or something. Like she has some sort of legacy.
No,
0%. She has very high self-confidence. So of course she can do it. Because remember, you can do magic. Morgana's like, you could just learn shit.
Yeah. It's literally a magic school, Chan. They will teach you magic. I mean,
right, but you don't
been to the magic castle?
You don't like walk into your high school and being like, boom, I know calculus. Let's go.
No, but you could take a class to learn calculus.
Right, but she hasn't taken a class yet.
She's auditing the class right now. Thank you. Yes.
Or maybe she is very capable, but then she gets frustrated when people are mean to her when the classroom full of, it looks like, it's hard to say, but are predominantly male identifying magical blobs laugh at her for failing. And she looks for maybe a shortcut.
this anger environment, feels a little specific, Andrea. Just double checking that you're okay. this wasn't nothing to do with your personal experience or anything.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, maybe I went to school and there was a janitor sometimes who offered me some options.
Satanic spells. Were the Christian fundamentalists right? Are all the janitors giving kids D&D manuals and teaching them how to summon devils?
I mean, that is what they're afraid of.
That is what the right is afraid of.
That's fair.
I really want to know what those options were that janitor offered you, because my brain went in about five different directions and any one of them could fill that answer.
Well, it's not that kind of show. Or is it that kind of show? I don't know what kind of show you guys have.
Bad news about
that. Bad news. It's absolutely that kind of show, regrettably. But I'll move forward anyway. She does audit the class, and today they are creating cursed familiars. So bust out your calculators, because math is important. How about that, kids? You're being told math is important, even if you're a wizard. And Gosselin has the attitude I have towards math. Chan, could you drop that sound poll for me, please?
Math is for weenies.
Thank you.
Okay.
Math is for weenies. That has been my attitude of life for a very long time.
That is why math...
Not even once.
I was really impressed because, like, they slipped in like a legit life lesson.
How about that?
Without being real preachy about it. Like, yeah, math is important. Maybe you should pay attention in school. Maybe you could do magic someday. I genuinely thought that was cool as hell. Not whatever bullshit you're talking, Ray.
Yeah. Do you know you could do magic if you do math?
It's
very cool.
Yeah.
Applied mathematics.
If I wasn't a weenie. God damn it.
I was on
the weenie club growing up, so I'm team weenie.
I want to jump ahead to another line that I think is especially great. When Beelzebub is talking to Gosselin.
I'll let you in on a little secret. Magic is easy. Well, that math stuff over there, it's there to keep the teachers employed.
Fantastic.
Union thing, I think, you know?
No. That last bit there, some kind of union thing, I think, you know?
I mean, it's great. He just made the libertarian case for privatizing magic schools. Gosselin, in fact, does not do the math, and so instead of creating a cursed familiar, which is, I played D&D, that's not something you want.
Yeah,
cursed. You don't want to summon a cursed familiar. That goes badly. She makes chocolate pudding, and everybody in class laughs at her, and she is shamed for being a normal, and somebody shouts at her, "Go to Helmeck, you normie."
I didn't care for that.
I respect some bullying in magic school.
Could have been anything but home ec. Anything but home ec. That's very.
You know what?
Wait, did you do home ec?
No, we didn't have home ec because we're not a crazy school.
Wow.
Who had home ec?
We had the choice between home ec or band and orchestra. Band/orchestra. And I did orchestra, obviously, because I was a cool kid.
I absolutely had home ec, and the main thing that I remember doing from there is learning how to sew, which I've since forgotten, and making my own, like, bags. They prepped us for sweatshop living.
I feel like there's a lot of useful shit in home ec, because once we got out into the real world, my mom taught me all of that stuff, but, like, there was all sorts of people that, like, didn't know how to do basic things. I'm like,
yeah.
Christ, man, learn how to cook.
So I agree with that, but I just feel like using it as an insult, like, made my blood boil a little bit.
It's a class of dudes talking to a female and shouting, "Go to home ec." Now, one thing, it does show there's a home ec class at this wizard school, and maybe that class would be kind of bomb if you think about it. Like, how to wave your magic wand and a cake appears. Like, I could get behind that.
make a wizard bag.
Make a wizard bag.
Made a make bag a wizard of cake. Make a literally make it make an anything. Make a wizard anything. What do you want to make? It's now a wizard thing you want to make.
Wizard things.
Yeah, I'd wizard sign up for
things,
that.
Wizard things, wizard stuff.
Make a wizard ashtray.
I was confused by this because there's no reason she should be able to do this. Listen. So if she she fails and like, okay, fucking whatever. I've never done this before. I made chocolate pudding, which is better than I would expected for mixing two random ass liquids together.
Which is also delicious.
Yeah, exactly. Or fails and goes like, well, shit, this shit is hard. But to like for people to like make fun of her when she doesn't know how to do it and is a fucking normal, it just makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, we did get some insight into this a little later in the episode. It gets explained a little bit better because what she is basically doing here is potion crafting. So they give her the materials. And if you've ever played Skyrim, right, there's the alchemy section where you can go ahead and you can take items together and then you mix them together to create potions and other poisons, that kind of a thing. And that's basically what she's doing here, but she doesn't know the levels of anything. So she ends up just kind of making chocolate pudding. But when it comes to actually doing spells later, you do find out that when she's waving her hands to like do shortcuts and not do the math, and she's creating magic, that is actually Beelzebub, the devil, creating the magic for her. He does say later on that it was him who created that magic for her. So she can't actually just wave her hands and cast spells. She's being tricked by the devil into thinking she has this magical ability and it's easy to do, when in fact she's just waving her hands and he's doing the magic and she thinks that it's her.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a head trap where Yorick, a skeleton, mm-hmm, is walking by. And Goslin bumps into him. The head rolls around the corner, which takes her to the devil janitor, who takes her to the Library of Forbidden Spells.
I love how the devil plays the janitor too. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, who's this actor? I know who this person clearly is. This like Albert Brooks or somebody? Like, it is somebody.
It's Marty Engels.
Now, who's Marty Engels? Why do I know that?
Who's the voice of Pac-Man in the Hanna-Barbera cartoons?
Okay. Yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, yeah, voice, okay. Actor in Pac-Man, yeah, okay. Okay, he's done a lot of stuff. Yeah, his voice was so familiar. He's so good. He does a phenomenal job in this. And this is where we learn Goslin hates math. He gives her a magic book that's like magic made easy. She goes, is this, you know, from the Library of Forbidden Spells? He goes, no, I'm the janitor. You can trust me. We moved all those books to the basement since nobody was supposed to look at them anyway. This book is from normal magic shelves.
Well, and here's the thing. His logic is reasonable and makes one think, why didn't also the school for real put the books that no one's supposed to look at in a place where it's harder for people to get to?
Like, makes a lot of sense.
The devil's dropping some good ideas.
You might actually argue that the devil is in the details.
Are you trying to take away my God-given right to have forbidden spell books whenever and whenever I want to? My Second Amendment right to killing curses?
I mean, we're just saying that maybe you should have a quick, like, you know, maybe someone should check your
don't
intent.
Tread say, on say, me
say your don't, backgrounds
don't tread sure on my you, my robe
you haven't accidentally my wizard used hat. Spells incorrectly in the past irresponsibly.
I'm making America
Gandalf
magic.
Again.
Hold on, magic. I got this. Make America great in Canada. That's shit.
Gandalf again.
Maggot. Make America Gandalf again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take
that. I think we all agree. So Goslin now conjures a familiar like she was not able to do in the class. and Beelzebub has set his trap for Darkwing Duck. Cut back to Morgana, who's now working on her presentation. And Darkwing Duck minimizes her situation, dude, and she is not happy about it, nor am I.
Her curse familiar, pretty dope.
I thought it was pretty shitty familiar, not gonna lie.
Weird little, like, green duck. It's kind of like a Frankenstein's monster-y kind of duck. It seems like I have a bad attitude, and like, yeah, I'm there for it.
Give me the slimes from Dragon Quest every day.
I mean, obviously, who wouldn't want a slime?
I mean, she could have just conjured a slime. What are we doing?
I feel like that's not a thing here in this universe.
And Morgana absolutely blasts the F out of Darkwing Duck, like two ashes against the wall. So that's the type of relationship that they have.
Yeah. I mean,
I see why you like her.
Mm-hmm. Look, I have a type. Gozlin is messing around with the spell book in front of everybody. She creates what's referred to as a Galarium Taranga.
Mm-hmm.
And it is chasing around Darkwing Duck because it is now in love with him.
A Galarian Taranga is modeled after Lena Hyena from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. The first name was from Greg Guler, and the last name from a fan mailing list that Tad Stones was a member of, hosted at Taranga.com. So this is a real inside joke.
I like it. Go inside, man. That's what I love.
Learned a little something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finally. Darkwing sicks the monster on Dad, and so now the Galarian Taranga is chasing Dad, trying to get with him, and this destroys everything about the presentation. All of the charts and boxes and tables and props that she had just destroyed.
Oh my god, this was a time before PowerPoint. How did we live?
This is terrible. Yeah, I was wondering, like, you know, just, yeah, she's got real props and they're bone now. And so Gozlin, you know, she's getting some credit. They say, did you use a forbidden book to conjure this? And she's like, no, I did not. And their immediate next reaction is, she is a prodigy of magic. It's not where I would have gone with it. I would have just assumed she was lying.
Yeah.
Why do you assume that this child is telling a lie, Ray?
Because it's her Gozlin first day at magic school.
But that, when Ray Charles sits down at the piano and starts playing mm-hmm. beautiful, beautiful music, do you not think, oh, that's a prodigy?
I mean, Ray Charles,
think he's lying to you?
He's very old and clearly displaying that he can play the piano. But you know what? Your point is being made very well. If I saw Mozart play, I would probably think that Mozart was. If I saw an 8-year-old playing like Mozart stuff. Very, very well. My first thought would not be prodigy. It would be they're obviously hacking.
If an old black man comes up and does anything spectacularly well, I'm like, yes, that's what old black men do. She is a little white duck, which is basically the exact opposite of an old black man. So,
well, metaphorically, Ray Charles was a child in this metaphor, clearly.
Yes.
Okay, I'm picturing a tiny Ray Charles.
Tiny. He's about two inches tall. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's a teeny tiny piano. He's uh-huh. walking up. He's playing Georgia on My Mind. And then he's conjuring a familiar and it's attacking Darkwing Duck. Glaring
Taranga.
And, yeah.
Are you doing that old joke?
What?
Do I need to? Okay, I'm going to tell this old joke.
Oh, Christ. This is the third one? Why?
So there's a man, and he's appearing on The Tonight Show. And we'll just say it's Jimmy Fallon, because that's, you know, who is hosting it now in the year 2024. And the guy comes out, and Jimmy Fallon's like, what is your special ability? Why were you booked on the show? He goes, look at this. And he pulls out a suitcase. And he opens the suitcase and pulls out a man that is 12 inches tall, and he puts him down on the desk, and then he reaches back in the case and pulls out a very small piano, and he puts the piano down and a bench as well, and he just holds up one finger. He goes, check this out. And then this 12-inch tall man sits down and starts playing classical piano. He is playing some Mozart. He's playing some Beethoven. You know, he's really jamming up all the hits.
I can't believe this joke is taking so long.
You got to tell jokes well, Chan. And so finally,
yes, you do have to tell them well.
Maybe if I was able to finish it, if I could
tell them at all.
Talking.
Not at all. Do you know this joke already? Andrew, help me out.
Don't help him. Don't help him.
Do you know this joke, Gina? That's what he wanted to say.
No, I don't know this joke.
Thank you. So
I will judge if the payoff is worth it.
The 12-inch tall man is playing all of these great classical numbers for a minute or two. And finally he ends and the audience has never seen anything like this before. So they break into a rounding applause. And as does Jimmy Fallon, and he sits here and he goes, what is the story here? How did you come across this? And the man, you know, who's booked, he says, well, I was walking down the beach one day and I found a magical lamp and I just rubbed the lamp. I said, why not? What could it hurt? And a genie actually popped out of the lamp. And Jimmy Fallon turns to him and says, and you wished for a 12-inch pianist? And the guy says, not exactly.
Oh.
That may have been the worst telling of that street joke that I have ever heard in my life.
I don't know how that was. That was very well told by me. Great job, me. Everybody at home, hashtag great joke, Ray, or hashtag chance heard better.
So here's, I'll say this. I have not heard that joke before, so it is both the best and the worst retelling.
I'll take it.
Of said joke.
I would argue that if I wasn't interrupted halfway through, to be scolded, maybe the timing could have come together better, Robert.
It wasn't
Clark
the timing. The problem wasn't the timing. It was your construction. You have to land the punch, and you did not. You went around the side and sort of sat down next to where the punch should have landed and said, well, that was good enough, right?
These are jokes to be told in public spaces. And part of the reason for these jokes is to gather a crowd to look at you by the time you finally get to the payoff. To the point where you have an entire room of people enraptured by what you're saying. And if you just tell that joke in 13 seconds, you're done and you haven't done anything. I question your comedy cred at this point. I'll say it out loud.
I have heard your jokes told by better.
I think you might be thinking of the 90s when people had attention spans for that.
When do you think I told these jokes originally?
Yeah.
The 90s, everybody. Great decade. If you happen upon a time machine, get back there. It was fun.
I mean, in the sixth grade, I also had a copy of Truly Tasteless Jokes. 1, 2, 3 through 8, honestly. And then I became an adult and I got a podcast and I left childish things behind.
I was given by a relative at, like, you know, you go to the relative's Christmas and you end up with like shitty gifts. You know what I'm talking about?
Like a white elephant type situation?
No. Like you'd go to like your cousin, yep. Great cousin's house for like alternate Christmas. And everybody gets like one gift or two gifts. It's not white elephant, but it's like, you end up getting some things, but it's just like just crap. And it's just nothing you're even into because nobody really knows who you are.
Right.
And it's just bad. I was gifted by one of my relatives at one of these, the Big Book of American Comedy.
And it had the 12-inch pianist joke in it?
It absolutely did. There was sex jokes all up in it and stuff. And I was probably like 12 or 13 years old. Ooh. And there was like religious jokes. But it wasn't tasteless. Okay. Like these were jokes that tried to keep up a certain appearance, but they weren't afraid to go there. So there was just a lot of like stand-up bits written in there and just a lot of just different sections. And I'll be honest, it was a pretty fantastic comedy book to give somebody who is just starting to be interested in that way. I don't know how I lucked into it, but that joke was absolutely in there and I crushed it. Great job, me.
I kind of wished, because the dean comes out and was like, oh my God, what a prodigy and all that. I was kind of hoping that at the end he would then come out and be like, yeah, we knew that that's what was going to happen. Why do you think we have like a library of, you know, forbidden spells? This was like a test and, you know, you failed. You'll never become a, you know, magician or whatever. Because it seems so obvious that that must happen like 4 times a week.
Well, also they don't have any sort of like magical protections
this
place. Like, and I mean, I guess the devil, I guess, has his ways to get around that.
Yeah.
I would suppose. But I feel like they would at least have some sort of magical alarm.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd think some security of some kind, given that this is the forbidden knowledge. But instead, they just take Goslin at her word, assume she's a prodigy, and they say, Morgana, let's cut down your presentation so Goslin can do one, even though we just met her and she's very unprepared to go up in front of people. An hour from now, let's just put her on stage. Doesn't seem fair.
That was shafted a lot of people here because she didn't get time to prepare. Morgana didn't get time to do her thing that she had been preparing for. And everybody walks away kind of bummed.
No one's happy with this. Only the dean. Nobody. Maybe the students.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think the students really want to see what Goz has to say either because they already don't respect her. They know the other students switched
real quick when they thought she now knew what was up.
Yeah. I'm just surprised. Like, I would think they would just be smarter than that. But all right.
They are not smarter than that. The dean is not smarter than that. The students are not smarter than that. They are fickle sons of bitches.
Now, can we go back? This is my favorite joke of the entire episode we get. It's a visual joke. We go back to the library, and the devil is still the janitor, and there are two brooms with arms and buckets, and he does a Fantasia broom joke in the moment, and I lost it. That one got me. I was like, oh, I know the thing. I know that reference.
What do you mean you don't do windows? Get out of here and get to work.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And he says, Goslin, go ahead and try this spell. This is the one that's going to work for you. Okay. So we go to the presentation. Goslin is now prepped. They seem very unimpressed by her presentation. This is Morgana's presentation, right? Why did they ask her to do it in the first place? If they, like, basically they say the idea of this presentation is bullshit. It's terrible. It's boring. Nobody likes it. That's why we literally reached out to you and asked you to come do it at the school. Like, whose fault is that?
Also, I like, she had it set up to do in the auditorium, and what ends up happening, or I guess, like, we catch the end of...
Dear Ms. Macabre, for that exciting presentation.
It kind of seemed like they were doing it in the dude's office rather than the auditorium. Or maybe that was just the post, like,
Yeah, it was unclear if she got, like, moved to make room for Goslin, maybe? Or, I mean, her stuff all got ruined earlier when the thing fell onto it. And the attention was off of her. And then it was just very a lot of stolen thunder.
Yeah.
Stolen valor.
And Morgana gets taken here. The devil kidnaps her. I wanted Liam Neeson to show up and get her back. That's not what happens. But she gets taken.
Isn't Darkwing Duck Liam Neeson?
He should be. I'm looking at
a screenshot of him right now. And it looks all the world to me like that's Liam fucking Neeson.
I mean, this is in a pre-Liam Neeson world, but it basically is, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Liam Neeson was around in the 90s.
Liam Neeson was in Excalibur.
Yeah, when did Liam Neeson get famous? Schindler's List was 93. And Darkman was 1990.
Liam Neeson, Excalibur, 1981.
Yeah, but nobody saw Excalibur, Chan.
I saw Excalibur like 800 times.
Well, that but never it. Darkwing Duck, only Excalibur. No.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have cut into that Excalibur time to watch some Darkwing Duck, Chan. But
have you all seen Excalibur?
No. But I have seen Darkwing Duck.
I've seen a lot of Darkwing Duck.
I just sent the picture. Tell me that's not Liam fucking Neeson.
I don't see any picture.
That looks like Darkwing Duck.
As Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that's Liam Neeson. Okay, so famously visual medium podcasts. The point I'm trying to make here is the demon says do this. Okay, so Goslin's presentation absolutely stinks. It is terrible because she's a fraud. She isn't impressing anybody. She ends up casting a spell and summons what I assume is a monster. No, it's a giant statue that is the Gates of Fire. Here comes Beelzebub, who then comes into the room, and I have a whole thought process here that goes through it, because the demon comes out and he's got a few familiars of his own, demonic familiars, and he's like, I've come to F you guys up. And in my head, I'm like, you just walked into the center of a school of magic where everyone at the school, teachers and faculty, are gathered. That is probably not a great matchup for you. And I am absolutely wrong. He decimates them, which makes me wonder why he hasn't just done this before.
This feels like something that, I don't know, maybe if they had more time, they would sort of explain that, like, oh, you need someone to invite you in. And obviously, you know, like, they closed off this library because there are all various ways to invite in, you know, a demon sort of thing. And now that he is in, obviously he's going to fuck shit up because, you know, that's what he can do. It seemed to me like the logic would hold.
But this is where we get the great moment. And I need the sound pull of Darkwing's speech, because when all moment is lost, you forget Darkwing Duck is even there. What does the voice pierce the darkness with? Did I get hair standing up on my arm and goosebumps? Yes, I did. Hearing this speech.
I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the water balloon that lives right on your head. I am Darkwing Duck.
Magical. I just wrote, let's go.
Now, Chit, you don't know that he doesn't always say that, right? Because you've never watched it before.
Yeah, it's different bits every time.
He's always the terror that flaps, and he's always Darkwing Duck, but the middle bit changes.
Okay.
It's the great joys of Darkwing Duck.
It's a great bit.
Okay. I'm into it. I respect
it.
Look,
he's a tech-based, gadget-based hero. He grabs a fire extinguisher and extinguishes the lesser demons, and then the devil reveals that Morgana is tied to a rock. He says, Darkwing Duck, take her place. And she says, don't do it. And he says, I'll do it. And then the devil just uses his magical wavy hands to wave her out and wave him in. It's a pretty powerful guy.
There you go.
Who is that easy?
But Goslin out here uses magic to make her familiar very, very large. And the demon just slaps that down in 1 second and reveals what I said earlier. When you were casting magic, it was really me. So your spell that you used against me was never going to work because I was the one who actually cast that spell, and I got a little goosebumpy. I like that. I like that reveal. I like that moment.
Yeah.
Guys, turns out it's a pretty good show.
It's pretty
Darkwing good. Duck is taken away. Chan, you missed out. And Darkwing Duck is doomed. He's taken down to hell, where he will be tormented for all eternity. I guess, yes, I can see why this episode got canceled. However, they start asking questions. They start doing a little investigation on the living, land of the living side after the devil's gone. And they find out that the demonic contract is invalid because he tricked Goslin.
I love this bit. This is so silly. I love it. Because they go back and forth with it and they're like, Goslin, did you know it was the devil? And she's like, no, I didn't know it was the devil. And then they're like, are you sure? And they doubt her. Now they're finally asking the tough questions. And she's like, no.
Finally.
Like, it wasn't. I thought he was the janitor. And then the moment she says that, everyone's like, oh, well, in that case, everything's okay. It's like there's all these rules against, like, when someone's soul is lost forever and when you can resurrect them and when you can go down and when you can't go down. And it's like there's this big janitor clause where it's like if the devil has tricked you into thinking that you're a janitor, then it's all right. You have a freebie. You can go get them. Thank God that's exactly what happened in this case.
Yes.
It's very easily solved.
Magic needs rules to be good. I'll just say it out there right now. Magic needs rules. If your magic system has no rules, it sucks. I need to understand how things work in your world. It's called world building. This message brought to you by David Zasloff. The demon is very happy to have Darkwing Duck in hell because he's done so much damage to evildoers. And what is Darkwing Duck's permanent hell? Chan, what is Darkwing Duck's permanent hell?
I assumed it was a reference to something that happens in the show.
Saved you, see, kiddo. your distant time to watch Pelican's Island forever.
Is that like his parents or something?
I believe that it is, yes. Having to watch TV with your parents forever is a personal hell. I'm here for that.
Is Pelican's Island like a riff on Fantasy Island?
I assumed it was Gilligan's Island.
I thought it was Gilligan's, yeah.
Okay. Okay, that makes more sense. I mean, Gilligan's Island is a delightful show. Yeah.
Can I tell you, like, people watch TV different here in the 2020s. And even last decade as well. What I got to share this. I was talking to a younger guy. At the time, he was like, I think like 16 years old. It was a high school kid. And him and his dad, because you don't just watch TV anymore, right? For we olds, we can't fathom this. People don't just turn on the TV and watch what they give us. Because of the way streaming works now, you have to make choices about what you watch and pick something. So him and his dad would just pick a TV show. Any TV show, and they would just binge it. They would just watch every episode of that show until they did the whole catalog of that show, and then they would move on to the next show. Like, that's how these particular people watched TV these days. And he told me, we just finished watching, I think it was like Lost. We watched every episode of that. So now we have to pick, and I can't decide between Breaking Bad and Gilligan's Island. And they went with Gilligan's Island. And I'm like, that is not a show you're intended to binge. That is a show you watch once a week for a half hour and forget about it.
I don't know. I love that for them, though. I feel like after watching Lost, like going from Lost to Gilligan's Island, that's delightful to me.
It's kind of great.
I've read a lot of stuff about this, about how Lost was kind of like right at the tail end. Like, that was right at the tail end. Of one of the last shows that was appointment TV viewing before mm-hmm. we really got the binge model, right?
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
And to go from that, to go from binging that to binging Gilligan's Island, because I actually remember, like, not that I binged it, but like Gilligan's Island, I would always watch in a series because they would put it on TV Land and put, like, at that time, to me, a crazy amount of episodes back to back, four, maybe six at a time. Holy cow. Can you imagine watching six episodes of a half hour show back to back to back? That's crazy to have access to six at a time. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the fact that it's not a show that's meant for binging kind of makes it delicious to binge.
The thing that we do now, because we're almost done with Northern Exposure, most days we just need to relax and cut out and play games on their phone while watching something partially on TV, but not like something with subtitles where we have to like engage, put everything down, only staring at the television. So like it would make sense. We're not going to watch Gilligan's Island, but it would make sense to, you know, just put on Gilligan's Island, go through the entire series and just sort of like enjoy it at that level. Cause like there is no point in history where people were like sitting down and like deconstructing the plot of each episode. And like, you know, it's not a goddamn mystery box series. They're just sort of leaning back and enjoying it. So it makes total sense.
Yeah. And also, I thought there'd be a lot more. There were only 99 episodes of Gilligan's Island.
That's still kind of a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot to binge. 99 episodes. I thought it was going to be like 250. I really felt like that's a show that went on for a million years, but they're only like between 3 and 5 seasons, it looks like.
So many shows that we think are lasted forever were just because they were in fucking syndication and we just watched the same episodes over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, Chan, we've talked about Robotech before, but I really thought Robotech, the original season series, was like 900 episodes long because of the way we watched it. Was I surprised to find out it was only 24 episodes? Yes, I was shocked to find out it was only 24 episodes. Literally, I watched the entirety of Robotech in 5 weeks. I felt like that was over the course of 11 months.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
boy.
Insane to me how perspective can change. Anyway, we're in the tail end here. I promise you we're wrapping up to the end. I just had to share that story when we mentioned Gilligan's Island because that's just crazy to me. They're doing math. This comes back in. All of the wizard people are doing math and they have to get the formula right to open the portal to hell and bring it back again so they can get in and rescue Darkwing Duck. And they do, and it works.
Like Hellraiser, only with calculus instead of a puzzle box.
It was wonderful.
Into it.
And I into love it. I love it that they solve this with math. It's beautiful.
Like, math is for weenies, though. I do still want to get that on the record.
Boo. Weenies, you're going to save Darkwing Duck's soul. Take that, Ray.
Yeah, I only say that out loud because I'm in the garage one house away from somebody who would be very unhappy I was saying that out loud.
Yeah, teachers are not too fond of that kind of anti-math talk.
They prefer when I don't rip on math. The point I'm trying to make is Morgana and Goslin, we are in the third act, in the final scene, we are introducing wearing a costume and pretending to be something that you're not, which is wild that this is the first time anyone does this in this episode. They do it in the climax where they pretend to be investigative reporters.
Wait, what?
Can you bring Darkwing Duck out for a picture for the newspaper?
I can't tell if you're joking or not, because I thought it was cool that they did essentially a flip of what the devil did earlier.
Oh, I guess the devil did do it. I guess it was.
He was a janitor. He's not really a janitor. That was him pretending to be a janitor.
Oh no, this is Legion all over again.
He's not actually a janitor.
Jesus Christ, Ray. Like, he specifically calls out that, yeah.
Team, get me wardrobe. I'm stepping out tonight.
Yeah, he did.
He got wardrobe, and they got wardrobe, and it's a nice mirroring.
See, this is what enrages Gina about doing the show with me.
Yes, only Gina is enraged by your behavior.
Well, you internalize it, though. She lets it out.
I get the receipts is what I fucking do.
I mean, fair enough. Look, they smash him. They get that monster, that conjured love monster, now loves the demon. And everything is getting called back just one after another. And this is just phenomenal writing. Phenomenal cartoon writing. And so we get Darkwing Duck back out. We say, let's discuss what Gaz's punishment is. And I think they do. Darkwing does an ingenious parental thing here. He goes, I'm going to have to do something pretty big because you opened a portal to hell and almost got my soul to the devil for eternity. Using forbidden knowledge magic books you should not have been using. That calls for a large punishment. But he does not elaborate. He lets her say out loud what she does not want to see happen. So that becomes the punishment when she vocalizes what a bad, rough punishment would be. That's phenomenal parenting.
So that's what you guys do as parents to trick your kids. I got it. All right.
I wish I were this good. Picked up some new tools from Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, it doesn't work out as well as this. You say it, and then they just look at you, waiting for you to say a thing, because they're smarter than you. But it works great.
I'm almost, like, excited for one of your... This is terrible. But I'm almost excited for one of your kids to get in trouble the next time, so that you could pull, like, a... and what would that punishment be? Like, just a little extra... report back. See if that works. I'm very curious.
I will call you when it happens and let you know how it goes. Yeah, spoiler alert, it's going to go poorly. I'm going to look like a fucking idiot, and Egon will lose more and more respect for me.
I mean, that sounds fine. That sounds good. I mean, my end goal is being entertained, so that works for my end goal.
Yeah,
fair. Yeah, you got no skin in the game.
This is what my parenting experience is basically going to amount to, because I've already acknowledged that I'm going to screw it up. Of course I'm going to screw it up. We all screw it up. Might as well get some laughs out of it. I hope somebody else enjoys the ride.
And Goslin says, not my comic books. And he's like, yeah, okay, that's what we're doing. And that's how they end the show. That's a weird walk-off. That is a weird walk-off for Darkwing Duck.
I mean, we're still talking about it in glowing terms, so I don't know how bad it could possibly be.
It's like it's bad. I'm saying it's weird.
Shows of
this era didn't walk off on this.
Yeah, this was a weird episode for Darkwing.
So weird.
I'm not saying I did enjoy it, because it's always a pleasure. But this is a weird episode of Darkwing Duck. And have it's not because it episode? Was bands. I don't think I had seen it. I mean, I might have seen it when I was young, like in the original incarnation. And
it sounds like it aired like once, and then they pulled it and never to be seen again.
Yeah, I have no memory of this episode, honestly. But not that I remember a ton of it. I remember ideas. I don't remember, like, it's been too long, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So if I did see it, I didn't remember it.
I remember the villains from the original run. Like, that's where most of my memories are, like, linked to, you know?
Yeah, because they were Disney-fied ripoff versions of Spider-Man and Batman villains. That was their whole deal. There was a fakey Poison Ivy. There was a fakey Electro. I'm sure there were. There was a fakey RoboCop. He was a hero. That guy was the best.
The opposite Darkwing Duck, like...
Negaduck.
Negaduck was amazing.
Yeah. Negaduck?
Negaduck.
Negaduck was so cool.
He was a badass, yeah. I got to watch more. Okay, Andrea, me and you are starting a Darkwing Duck podcast after this. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Oh, my God. Very good. And that is Darkwing Duck, ladies and gentlemen, the band episode Hot Spells. I loved it. I love this episode. This is a lot of fun.
Too hot for TV.
This is real good. And like I could kind of tell that this was a little bit of an anomaly episode. I mean, it would have to be to get
of this like podcast, that. Not of Darkwing Duck.
That too.
Yeah.
And it looks like it came out, I think this was like a Halloween episode. Like, it actually dropped on like October 31st. So,
all right. You know. All right. That holds.
We should have saved it for next year's Halloween episodes. Because I feel like we're scraping the bottom of the barrel with those.
Yeah, but when we scrape the bottom of the barrel, it gets better. Age is like fine tar.
I guess. It's better than somebody.
Knowing is half the podcast. Andrea Listenberger, thank you so much for joining the show. Where can you get your socials on? Where can people support you? Just tell us some stuff.
Yeah, you can follow me on the Twitter, which is what it will always be called in my mind, at Andrea_ML. Follow me there. You can follow my sketch team at Friendo Sketch. I perform around town. We have a show coming up on April 13th. If this is being released after that, I'll leave it to you to edit that out. Yeah, check it out. Also, if just released a video game that I wrote for WWE 2K24, if you're wrestling inclined and want to play really cool story mode, you can also pick that up and support my work that way. Although none of the money comes to me, but if you like it, give me a holler.
But if the game does very well, they will make more of them and theoretically hire you back on to make more money.
Yeah, then that is always a good thing. And a lot of people besides me worked very, very hard on it. So we like that for everyone, not just myself.
There you go. Robert Clark Chan?
Yeah.
Who am I kidding? You don't have anything you want to plug.
No.
You have other shows you do. You're not even interested in talking about them.
No, I'm not even interested in this one, honestly. So... Go buy Andrew's wrestling game.
You know what? Yeah. Go buy Andrew's wrestling game and literally nothing else.
If you get a sandwich. You're going to be hungry if you're going to play it. Maybe a soda.
Okay.
You could buy something
else.
Go get
Andrew's wrestling game, then get a soda, then get a sandwich, and nothing else. It's like a Pepe Le Pew monster. Wants to bang him.
Yeah.
And watch me prove people wrong.
I don't know what we're watching there, but I'm into it.
Hold on. I just learned I'm losing my hair there.
Oh, no.
I was looking on tabs and one of them fucking started up. Like, where are you? Where are you?
Wow. Well, Chan, thanks. And you better keep those polls in the show, because that's golden podcasting right now.
Absolutely.
When we're up for the Potty Award for 2024, best podcast, I want them to pull this clip, and then this is when the whole ballroom starts applauding when I finish saying the sentence.
This is, we're going to win the Potty Award for this. We'll be able to have a potty on our heads.
Some would argue we've been there before.
Seamless.
Been there. Where is it? Oh, yeah, it's... Out of snow and he appears, the master of surprise. Who's that coming behind the shadow we disguise? Nobody knows for sure. Bad guys are out of luck. Here comes Darkwing Duck. Look out! When there's trouble, you call the W. Darkwing Duck. Let's get dangerous. Darkwing Duck. What do I do, you bad boy? Darkwing Duck.
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures.
But oh my Ash god, is like, Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's
is it
like...
because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.